sir?
Sherman Murphy.
Okay, Mr. Murphy, one moment. Let's see who's going to... Okay, the Honorable Mr. Johnson will serve as your lead, so just hold on one moment as he finds his paperwork, sir, and he'll be right with you.
Okay, Reggie.
What was his name?
Murphy.
Murphy. Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Could you please state your full name and your ADC number for me, please?
Sherman Christopher Murphy, Jr., 193757.
Okay, so you appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left, you have the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. My name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'll be acting as your panel lead today. Also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Correction as well as the Parole Office, is Mr. Turner, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form that advised you of this hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, sir.
On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself.
Okay. So at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Turner in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
So your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and condition of the community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out at phase one, Mr. Murphy. So you have three allegations listed on your warrant. I am going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read those allegations to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, the first allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7 as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on July 26, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated August 8, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
Okay, thank you, sir. The next allegation states that you have violated the Arizona Condition of Supervision number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about July 24, 2017, as verbally directed on July 18, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
Okay. Thank you, sir. The next one states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to follow a curfew and reside at his provided approved residence as verbally directed by CCO Newsom on June 27, 2018. So is that true or false?
True.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All right, then. Well, based on the admission of Mr. Murphy, I move to find that he was delinquent, that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, motion by myself, second by Mr. Neal. Agree, Dr. Wright. So we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two and get some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Turner. Then I'm going to go over some information with you and see if the board have any questions, and we'll get any information that you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Mr. Turner.
Yes, Murphy was released from ADC custody on 1/31/2018. and arrested on 8/1/2018 by ADC on its exec warrant. No new charges are noted. Returned back to ADC custody on 8/1/2018 with a CSED of 5/2/2020, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2001, commitment A, count one, armed robbery, 10 years, 6 months. 2001, commitment A, count two, armed robbery, 7 years, 6 months. 2001, commitment A, count three, murder, second degree, 16 years. 2002, commitment B, aggravated assault, 7 years, 6 months. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term at ADC with a CUIR score of 33, mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 1. No SCG information is noted, and there's no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary is moderate with drugs and smuggling and contraband noted. Other arrest, 1998, burglary in the third degree, Arizona juvenile probation. He has a GD score of G1, B2.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Johnson at 11421 West Cocobar Street in Allendale. Were you still staying with your mom at the time you were arrested, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So were you working during that period of time?
Yes, I was a landscaper.
Okay. Looks like you had random drug testing, and it looks like your first two was positive for amphetamines, then you had no sample collected, then you were positive for amphetamines, then you had some negatives, and no sample, then negative, no sample, negative, no sample collected. So you had a bunch of negatives. So what happened with you when you relapsed on the drug? What was going on?
Well, when I first got out, I got frustrated because it was hard to find that work in the beginning, and you know, just hanging around and just got lazy, period. So I fell into that, and it just, something came to me and just like, you know what, you know, at least give yourself a shot. So I had talked to my parole officer, Mr. Newson, you know, and asked him if I could go into that program, MRC. And I entered into MRC, and I was there for 30 days and got involved, and I was able to work on my recovery and actually meet some good people there that helped me get a job. So when I got out of MRC, I was able to find, I got me a job, and I was working, and I didn't give no more, dirty ways. And that place really helped me because I got to learn a lot about myself and then to work on my recovery, addiction. And during that time, working and, coming from 114th, my job was on 40th Street to Oak. I had an ankle monitor on me, which, I talked to my parole officer and I told him, look, I get rides back and forth to work, so I don't know what time they come and get me. It was either between, 4 or 5. And so when they come get me, I'll call in and I'll be like, hey, I'm going into work, and just make sure I always leave that message on his phone so he'll know where I'm at all times. And so that's where the getting high and, in the beginning, because I was doing just, a little frustration setting in, getting out there and, not finding work right away. And so I just, fell into the madness out there.
Okay, well, it looks like, what happened, you were staying with your mom, and then looks like you wasn't there for about 5 days. What happened?
No, I was. See, because what happened is, the address that I was approved to go to, well, when I got out of MRC, I wasn't able to go there, so I had to go stay with my mom. Well, all my property and things was there. So when I went over there, you know, my parole officer was like, hey, you ain't supposed to be standing there, you know, and I told him, I was like, look, I'm not standing there, I'm getting my stuff out of here. You know, I gotta get, you know, my bed, my clothes, my shoes, and, you know, and he thought I was living there, which I know I couldn't be living there, and I was staying with my mom. And so it was just a misunderstanding between me and him and my mother, but I wasn't, you know, staying nowhere else. And
so you were just gone from there for 5 days?
No. No. I was staying with my mother.
Well, and the report says that you weren't at your mother's house for 5 days.
No, I was there at my mom's house. I don't know. Maybe when he showed up, I probably wasn't there. I was probably at work or something. I was living with my mother because I knew I couldn't live at my address that I was approved to go to, because that's the address I requested to leave, because that's where I fell in. Into getting high and stuff. So I requested to leave from that address and go to my mother's.
Okay, it said that basically what I read is that you hadn't been at your mother's house for 5 days because you'd been at some friend's house and was stranded and didn't have any transportation or money.
No, I never was. I was just going back and forth to work. And what time was it? What day was this, sir?
Let me look back and then you look back and look it back up. It says on July 18th, a vendor reported to that you had not been at your assigned residence for over 5 days. You stated that you were stranded at your friend's house with no ride and no money. Stated that you lost your job and that they did send to you for 7 days in MRC and you were directed to go there.
Yes. That is correct. That is correct, sir. That is correct.
So you're doing a grudge over that 5 days you was at your friend's house since that's...
No, sir. When I was over there, because she been helping me going, because I don't have a car, I don't know how to drive, so she was helping me going to find work because I had lost my landscaping job because I had an ankle monitor on me, and I didn't have no fun, so I called my parole officer and told him, hey, look, I'm stranded over here, you know, I have no way of getting back home, and I made sure I let him know what was going on, and he said, all right, well, I need you to come in and check in with me and bring some clothes with you. I was like, well, I just got a job going to this temp service, unloading trucks. And he was like, well, don't worry about that, just come in. I was like, okay. So I went in, and he placed me in MRC for 7 days. And I just didn't understand that because it was like, okay, I just lost the job right there. Because I was supposed to start the following Monday, and I wasn't able to.
Okay, so I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you.
No,
sure. So no additional questions coming from the board. Mr. Murphy, the board is, I'm sorry, Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. I was going through the OMS notes. I'm not going to go through them basically one by one. It would take too long. The ankle monitor was placed on the offender due to the fact that he was not where he was supposed to be. Right. He was staying out of the residence. On 6/14/18, he was contacted by his PO about not residing there. The person that he contacted at the offender's proposed placement at that time stated that he had not been there in a few days. On 6/28/18, the offender again was sat due to not being at his approved residence for a couple of days. On 7/19/18, he was staffed again for failure to be at his residence. Then on 7/17/18, he wasn't at his residence again. So the ankle monitor was put on there to ensure that he was staying where he was supposed to be staying, even after the ankle monitor was was placed. He still did not follow the directions of his supervisor or his conditions.
Okay. So, Mr. Mayor, the board's coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, so then we're going into discussions. Is there anything else that you'd like to say to the board as we come up on a conclusion?
Yes. You know, because I would like to speak about, you know, as far as the days that, you know, whenever I had a problem or issue, because when I spoke to Mr. Newsom in the beginning, he said, all I ask is that you tell me the truth, you know. And anything that happened or took place, I made sure I called and let him know. And if I couldn't get a hold of him, I left messages on his phone. And, you know, when I was talking to him, you know, every time I spoke to him, after he received my message, he was like, all right, you know, I know why you had this violation, because trying to get to work and stuff. He was just like, make sure you just keep in touch with me and let me know everything that's going on. I said, okay. And, you know, up until, you know, them coming to get me, he hadn't wanted me to enter to a halfway house. When I told him, I said, look, I can't go into a halfway house due to the fact that, you know, I was in protective custody and there's a GP there, you know, general population. And that's where we had our misunderstanding, and, you know, that's when he violated me. And so that's all I got to say. I make no excuses for my mistakes.
Alright, so the board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, I need you to stay on the phone so you can hear the discussion taking place. However, I need you to remain silent. We'll make a determination and get back with you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Alright. Mr. Murphy. Was been incarcerated. He got out. He was staying with his mom, and there were some problems where he wasn't staying at the residence he was supposed to be at every night. He wasn't meeting his curfew dates, and he was then put on a monitor. When he was put on the monitor, he couldn't maintain the residence where he was supposed to be, nor could he maintain taking care of the monitor. Mr. Murphy had several UAs while he was out. Some of them was positive. He did test positive for amphetamines. Not only did he test positive for amphetamines, he did miss several UAs that he actually had, where he actually missed. I do want to make note that on some of those UAs that he missed, he did take a UA the next day, which was negative. But when he first got out, he started using amphetamines, and according to Mr. Murphy, you know, he did this when he got around his friends and got in the wrong atmosphere that he would actually do it. And so I think that at this time, I think his PO really went out to really work with him and put him in programs, put him on a monitor system to try to keep him on the right track. And Mr. Murphy just wouldn't abide by it. I don't see Mr. Murphy being a good candidate to be re-released out on his community supervision at this time. I don't really list the rest of my colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I'm going to make a motion to revoke the community supervision. And Mr. Murphy found that he was delinquent, violated the terms, conditions of supervision, and had lapses, was about to lapse in the criminal wage or company, as he did relapse and start using illegal drugs, as well as didn't stay where he was supposed to stay at the periods of times he was supposed to be there according to the monitoring system that he was on. He will be released. Mr. Turner, I thought you said he May 2nd of 2020, and on the sheet we have it has May 20th, so I just wanted to make sure.
I can double check.
And actually, I do have May 2nd on the in the notes. The SED has 5/2/2020. It's just written on the top as 5/20. So
I am showing 5/2/20 also. Okay. That was must have been a typo.
Yeah. So 5/2/2020, he will be released at that time. So that will be my motion to revoke his community supervision.
Second.
Motion by myself. Second. Mr. Neal, agree, Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Murphy?
Yes, sir.
So the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be
released on May 20th of 2020. During that time, when you're released, you won't be on any parole or community supervision. You won't have to report to a parole officer during that period of time. So take any program out that you can while you're still incarcerated. So I do want to thank you for appearing before this board. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. So could you put the phone down so the next person could come in, sir?